wants to have a relationship with a man, the only way he can be certain of a relationship is through covenant. So the reason God gave man covenant was not just to teach man how to walk in the spirit. The idea behind covenant is to bring men into intimacy. And that's why you can love a woman with all your heart. God has no business with that. Because the economy of relationship in the spirit is not run on the frequency of feelings. So God has no regard for your love for a woman until it is consecrated with a covenant called marriage. So when he was talking to Israel and giving them the commandment of his voice and of his covenant, the idea was to re-emphasize the need for intimacy. You will not just come to me once because I've delivered you and you have nowhere to go. Even when you get to the promised land, the idea is not the land. The idea is intimacy. I'm not taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey so that you will live in pleasure. The idea is to remind you that the God that delivered you is still interested in an intimate walk with you. Therefore, keep my voice and my covenant. And when you study Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, you will discover what the Bible said. That when God talks about his voice, it's not just for you to hear him. It's for you to have intercourse with him. The Bible said in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden. When Adam ran from God and hid himself, he was still hearing God. So the idea behind the economy of God's voice is not just to hear, it's intercourse. So Adam was still hearing, but there was no intimacy. And because there was no intimacy, he had no business with the voice of God. So the two commandments God gave Israel all circled around intimacy. I did not display power just to make you believe that I am God. And I'm not taking you to a land full of milk and honey just for you to live unto yourself. The whole idea is intimacy oriented. And that's why God told them, my kingdom is not a kingdom of apostles. My kingdom is not a kingdom of prophets. My kingdom is not a kingdom of teachers. My kingdom is not a kingdom of evangelists. My kingdom is not a kingdom of pastors. You see, I have made you a kingdom of priests. That means your preoccupation, what will give relevance to your existence, is an intimate walk with me. So the summation and the summary of priesthood is intimacy. Priesthood is not just prayer. Priesthood is about intimacy. It's a journey into God. So when God wanted to tell them the foundation of priesthood, he took time to reveal to them that you will look beyond the power. I displayed power in Egypt, but the idea is not power. The idea is to bring you to myself. I'm giving you two laws to keep my voice and my covenant, but it's not about the laws. It's about intimacy. I want you to be a generation of priests. I want you to be a kingdom of priests. So the foundation of priesthood is to minister to me. You know, today our burden and our emphasis is to minister to the body. The idea is not to minister to the body. The idea is not to minister to the world. The idea is to minister to him. What you give to the body is an overflow of your intercourse with him. We talk kingdom, and every time we discuss God's kingdom, we are talking about the mountains of influence. The mountains of influence are civilizations born out of intercourse with another spirit. And until we have sufficient intercourse with him, and what flows out of us can affect that mountain, we have no testimony in that realm. I wish I don't have to say something. And we just understand this. And just live here with a burden to leave it. Sometimes, the greatest burden a man can have, or the greatest controversy and contradiction a man will find, is the attempt to communicate spiritual things. It's too deep. Difficult to communicate these things. You don't have words sufficient. They can only be experienced. That a man would understand that every other pursuit in life is a testimony of a vacuum in your soul. Every other pursuit in life is a revelation of vanity. Every other pursuit in life is a revelation of the fall. That until man seeks God and the pursuit of God becomes his sufficiency, he is not alive. He said, they that liveth for pleasure, they are dead, even while they walk it. So breath is not life. Intimacy is what gives life to this mortal body. This body is dead. This body is dead until God comes upon this body and kills it, and all that gives life becomes his intimacy with God. He has not begun to live. Our Christianity have not understood this truth. We pursue anointings, we pursue power, we pursue influence. Every other spirit in this realm can give all of that. Every other spirit. The foundation of priesthood is intimacy. Is intimacy. When you study the scripture, you discover everything that God did and every action God displayed revealed oneness. Because the mystery of existence is oneness. Oneness with him. Both in nature and in the spirit. Everything is about oneness. Until oneness is attained, life is corruption. Everything reveals oneness. I was studying the scripture and I clicked on the word Torah. What is the value of Torah? What does Torah mean? And the first thing that was revealed to me about Torah is that the numerical value of Torah is 611. And the Holy Ghost drew my attention and he said the army of Israel is 603,550 soldiers. So Israel and Torah is 600. He says, so Israel is the mobile Torah. So when God raised that army, they were not just giving birth to children just because of biological purpose. He said it was a calculation of betting the Torah. So the reason Israel, the army of Israel was mighty is because they brought kingdom to earth. They brought heaven to earth. It was a revelation of intimacy. God told me the reason why you need trees around is because they survive on your breath and you survive on their breath. It's a revelation of intimacy. And he said, for us who are the trees of righteousness, to exist in his realm, we must depend on his breath before we can survive, because we are trees of righteousness. So you are not living on earth until you depend on him, until you walk with him, and until you live as one. Everything in scripture reveals intimacy so that God can be seen in man. So that God can be revealed through man. So that God can be brought to a visible plane because a man showed up. Intimacy. But we don't know it. We don't know it. Priesthood is a journey of intimacy. It's a journey of intimacy. When you look at the tabernacle of old, the first thing you collide with is the gate. The gate reveals the four offices of Christ. So salvation and everything you ever require is at the gate. So if you come to God for what he gives, stop there. What you need is already granted. If you are coming to God for money, for salvation, everything God has to offer is at the gate. So priesthood is beyond everything God has to give. Priesthood is for those who pursue God, not what God has. Everything God has, he kept it at the gate. If it is needs that brought you here, take and go. You don't do business here. The moment you meet the gate, you see Christ, the Son of God, Christ, the King, Christ, the Servant, Christ, the Word. Everything God has to offer is at the gate. You need healing, take it and go back. You need money, take it and go back. You need anointing, take it and go back. You need dimensions of the Spirit, take, go back. But if in case I am the one you are seeking, come deeper. Come deeper. And the moment you leave the gate, the first thing you meet is the altar of sacrifice. God begins to deal with the flesh. Everything about priesthood kills you so that God can fill you. He decimates you so that God can have a place in you. In case you don't need what I have to offer, but myself, come on deeper. And the proof that God is what you want is that anything you cross the gate with, he will kill it at the altar of sacrifice. You can't go deep with what you are carrying. Keep it at the altar. Keep it there. He will decimate you, kill you, damage everything you carry until when you are left with nothing. Then you will begin to have the first layer of intercourse. You meet the lover. That's when the Holy Ghost pours out himself upon you. That's the realm of joy. Now, joy is of the spirit. Pleasure is of the body. Happiness is of the soul. But joy is of the spirit. When a man is receiving the things of the world, he gives pleasure to his body. When a man is regulated by circumstances, he gives him what is called happiness. But when a man comes to a level where he has known how to abound and to abase, he enters joy. So what the Holy Ghost does at the lover is a validation and a testimony of the fact that flesh has already been decimated. There is no more flesh, so you don't know pleasure. You have entered the reality of Golgotha. You are now bones. And when God finds out that there is no flesh anymore, and God finds out that no circumstance can manipulate you anymore, but you have known what death is, then he begins to pour the spirit into your heart. That is what we call the ministry of the lover, an interaction with God, where a man has nothing but is full of joy, where a man is walking through the valley of the shadow of death, yet is full of joy, where a man is laboring, nothing seems to be working, but is excited, and you look at him, you say, what is going on? I have joy in the Holy Ghost. I have joy. I saw everything God has to offer, but I left it. God wanted to give me influence. God wanted to give me money. God wanted to give me fame, but I told him, I seek you. You are the one I look for. You are the one I look for. I left fame at the gate. I left
love influence at the gate. I love money at the gate. And when I came, God tested my conviction by carrying me through the altar. And he decimated me. I went through the fire. I went through the waters. He decimated me. When he saw that what I said, I meant it, he began to supply the Holy Ghost. He begins to supply the Holy Ghost. And a point comes when the Holy Ghost is poured upon you, then it sucks you into the inner court. That's where absolute dependence on God is activated. In the outer court, you can still look at the sun. You can still have other alternatives. But when flesh has been killed, your uncle is no longer an advantage. Men are no longer an advantage. The systems of this world are no longer an advantage. And God will need to take you deeper, because the sun will darken you again. The sun can destroy that which God started. So he will suck you to the holy place. And when you come there, there is no light of the sun. If God doesn't show up for you, they will stay there. And it's enough. That's the ministry of the menorah. That the illumination that comes is not from the sun, it's from the realms of God. The illumination that comes is from the intercourse that you have with God. So you will not take any step until God says move. You are full of God. It's always a journey of intimacy. It's a journey. The man that come before the Lord, all day. See, when you journey in priesthood, the only thing you'll be left with will be worship. That's why before you meet the Shekinah, you see the altar of incense. You have nothing anymore. You gave up everything. Only worship comes out of your spirit. And that's why the 24 elders that are in the throne room, they have nothing. All they have is worship. The Bible said they fall from their thrones. They cast their crown and they sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Forever and ever, day and night, we have nothing anymore. Only what God gives we have. Our lives become a stream of worship. Priesthood is a journey of intimacy. Our gospel today is a gospel that increases lust. It's a gospel that provokes lasciviousness. It's a gospel that provokes selfishness. We have God gained godliness. And that's why God can't entrust us with things anymore. You don't know why God is looking for priests. Because the gates of earth have become porous. He's looking for gatekeepers. He kept Adam to man the gate of earth. But Adam did not know what priesthood was about. Adam was still looking for things. He was still looking for things. And by an apple, he bargained his gatekeeping assignment. God is looking for gatekeepers. Because what brings a spirit into your realm is priesthood. That's why he said to Moses, build according to the patterns revealed to you on the mount. Exodus 25:40. And when Moses built it, the Shekinah entered the earth. When you don't know priesthood, our realm will be vulnerable. Our realm will be porous. You will have 10,000 churches, but Lagos will be ruled by darkness, because we can't man the gates. The devil can still negotiate. The devil can still bargain. Our families will be porous. Increased churches does not bring safety to a territory. Increased number of pastors does not bring safety to a territory. Only priests can secure a territory, because there is no ground of bargain. They gave up everything. God has become their shield and their exceeding great reward. He has become their shield. And that's why in this kingdom, it doesn't matter for how long you have been around. It matters how deep you have traveled. Because you will be light to go deep. You will be empty to go deep. When you carry things, you can't journey far. Many people have been slowed down by the things of this life. He said, no man that worried entangled himself with civilian affairs. We need gatekeepers. We need men that know the journey of Elohim. Men that can travel beyond the gate, beyond the altar of sacrifice, beyond the lava, beyond the altar of shewbread, beyond the menorah, until they come to the Shekinah. When you begin to deploy priesthood, then God begins to equip you with the secrets of God. Because this realm is governed by secrets. But only priests can be entrusted with secrets. In Matthew chapter 13 verse 11, he said, the things of the kingdom, he said, the mysteries of this kingdom, they are available to you, but for them that are without, they are not. It is for your glory. But how far can you travel? When you travel deep as a priest, you become one of the gatekeepers of the earth realm. You may not have
money in your account. But in the kingdom of God, you are many times more relevant than the man that has money. You may not have a title, but in the kingdom, you are many times more relevant. You may not have what men call great, but in the eyes of God, you will be mighty. We have not been taught the significance of priesthood. So many have left their gates porous. Many have left their gate, and beasts have inhabited their territories. But in this conference, God will raise gatekeepers. God will raise gatekeepers again. When a man begins to journey into God and travel into the womb of Elohim, before God gives him things, God makes him. God changes him. God alters him. The rays that come from that realm will alter your molecular structure. And God will send you back into the world as an envoy of the kingdom. When your priesthood becomes accurate, I assure you, the first thing you will have is not influence. I assure you, the first thing you will have is not popularity. I assure you, the first thing you will have is not money. What you will have will not be fame. But you will be changed into another man. You will become a man that God can trust. You will become a gatekeeper. There are three major things that will happen to you. And these three things will make you a man God can trust in order to mount gates that the devil has created in this realm. When a man's priesthood is activated, first, he becomes a light. I'm just giving you a chart tonight. I will teach tomorrow morning. He becomes a light. The reason is because there are other demonic priesthood that have opened up darkness into this realm. And so when God wants to shift darkness backward, he is looking for a man that can appear before the presence, and the rays of God can change him into that which he is. The Bible said darkness was upon the face of the deep, and then God showed up as light. He said, light appear. The first gate that God addresses is the gate of darkness. Every time you see a realm in chaos, darkness has permeated. And when God begins to raise a kingdom of priests again, light bearers will show up. That's why he said, darkness was in the earth. He said, he was a great light. God had to become light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. But how did he generate that light? You remember, he was on earth for 30 years. The earth was in darkness. It takes priesthood for that light to come out. He wasn't just light by default. In John chapter 1 verse 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was light. The light was the light of men. But the people of Zabulun were in darkness. Even though he was born with the potential to become light, light could not enter the territory. Light began to affect the territory. When through priesthood, he was changed. How do we know? In John chapter 17 verse 2, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Something that was resident on his inside began to come. He was praying. Favor didn't rest on him. He was praying. Money didn't come to him. He was praying. Influence didn't come. But the prayer caused a transfiguration. The prayer caused a transubstantiation. The prayer caused a change. You started priesthood and pressure came. You ran back because you didn't know the purpose of priesthood. You thought when you begin to pray, you will get the job. You thought when you begin to pray, you will get the contract. You don't need prayer to get the job. By a degree, you can get the job. By a degree, you can get the contract. It's at the gate. You will journey deep to become light. If contract is what you are looking for, it's at the gate. If promotion is what you are looking for, it's at the gate. Take it and go away. He said he gave gift to the sons of Keturah. But for Isaac, he gave him the blessing. Isaac traveled with him from tent to tent, seeking the city with foundation whose builder and maker was God. The sons of Keturah didn't journey with God. It was Isaac that journeyed. When you are at the gate, you can receive anything you are looking for. You can take word of knowledge. You can take gift of healing. But if you are looking for the light of God, if you are looking for him that
dwells in the midst of the coals of fire, there is a journey that you must embark on. As he prayed, as you engage priesthood, you are not looking for material things. Where will I get to before I am changed? He said, who is he that can ascend the mountains of God? Who can stand upon his holy hill? There is a travail that brings you to the mountains of light. And when you get there, you come out and you become a similitude of that light. That was why he told the disciples, you are the light of the world. Once upon a time, he was the only light. But now he isn't the only light. He said, you too, you are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. By priesthood you have been changed. When we begin priesthood, there is a place our job and our work of intimacy brings us to. That transfiguration takes place. There are many anointed men in the world, but I tell you, there are few transfigured men. That's why churches increase, but there is darkness in the territory. Because the men that have power to challenge darkness, they must become light. That's why you prayed for 1 year, you didn't get an answer. Most times the prayer is not about an answer, it's about a reward. A reward is something that has an eternal value. Paul said, we groan that we will be changed, that we will put on the heavenly tabernacle. We are tired, the flesh is a body. I seek transfiguration. I seek transubstantiation. When Peter arrived at the end of his ministry, the glory was not the anointing. He said, well, we were with him on the mount when he was transfigured. That's why we did not come to you with fables. We saw him transfigured. Our pursuit is to attain transfiguration. Our pursuit is to attain transubstantiation. Because there is a darkness that our message alone cannot change. We must come as the light bearers. It takes priesthood to journey there. There is a place you get to that you will see the light. You will see the light. That light will change you. It will take priesthood to get there. If what you are looking for is things, forget it. You are not ready for priesthood. That's why the price of priesthood is intimacy. You will pray, you will journey. And most times, nothing will be there to show for it. But your altar will be on fire. Men will look at you and say, what kind of man are you? You say you have done this for 10 years. How come there is nothing to show for it? That's it. Language of the world. We don't do what we do for something to show. They said, John was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. There was nothing to show. When he came out, all he had were camel skin. He didn't even have food to eat. He fed on locusts. I'm not in ministry for something to show. I came to minister to the Lord until I become a light to my generation. Our priorities are wrong. And that's why the devil puts us under pressure. When you know that your pursuit is transfiguration, nothing will change you. Even persecution will be an advantage because it will help you to dig deeper. Elohim Adonai. Sacrifice him. It was not about the child.
Abraham was old and when speaking in age, the Lord had blessed him in all things. It was not about the gold.
He said, I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. I am your reward. I am your reward. I am your reward.
Challenged, it didn't shake them. They want to kill Peter. According to Bible history, Peter said, I'm not worthy to be crucified facing up. They were not begging for their lives. Because the day they started priesthood, that day they died. The altar already killed them. The altar already decimated them. You are the one that think they are alive. They were dead the day they began priesthood. You don't kill them. They were dead. John said, I, John, I was among in the isle called Patmos. I was there for the testimony of the Lord. So long as it's for the Lord, it's enough. Even in Patmos, I was in the spirit. That's my greatest asset. Because when I started the business of the altar, the first token the altar gave me was death. The altar killed me. The altar killed me. You are the one who thought I died the day you beheaded me. You are the one who thought I died. That's what Jesus meant. He said, this commandment have I received of my Father. I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up again. It's the dying of the Lord. Paul said, I bear in my body the dying of the Lord. The marks of the death of God, I carry it on my body. I'm not dressed with an apron. I am dressed with the debts of Christ. The debts.
Hey, hey, hey.
upon three people. God is drawing them deep. You have heard that trumpet. You have received that summon. But you lost the capacity to press. Even under this atmosphere, the hand of the Lord is descending to pull men to the presence. And as I speak now, step into that dimension. Maleleve. Beriakotemana. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. When you get to where light dwells, two things happen to you. In the name of Jesus, we are talking about priesthood and the seven governments of the menorah. Hear me. When you get to where light dwells, two things happen to you. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and his train filled the temple, and he saw the seraphims, those that walk in the midst of the coals of fire. He said they picked one of the stones in the midst of the fire and touched their tongue. When a man reaches where the menorah is, the first thing that happens to him is that he becomes like the crystals of heaven. The stones of heaven are the testimony of the 12 dimensions of God that cannot be edited. The 12 dimensions of God that cannot be modified. The 12 dimensions of God that represent the 12 tribes of the spirit realm. A man will be compromised unless those stones touch him. The reason why our bishops compromise, our governors compromise, is because they've not seen the ministry of the coals of fire. The second thing that happens to you is that you step into the intensities of God. That's the government of the seven spirits of God. The seven intensities. The seven intensities of the present. A man cannot be a fire for his generation until priesthood makes him one.